it was the first time I had ever heard that you could get a degree in winemaking. And I said, that's for me.
Robert Parker has established himself as a critical reviewer with an acute palate. I'm just wondering where that female is.
The wine industry is addicting. It draws you back.
To me, the romance is in the glass, and it's when you're done with the bottle.
And we would spend our summer afternoons swimming in the irrigation pond for 3 to 4 hours a day.
Even though it's tough work, nobody said it would ever be easy. You know, we do it as a family.
In the final analysis, somebody's going to pop the cork, and they're either going to like the wine or they're not going to like the wine.
Since I made Cabernet all my life at Beringer, I buy Cabernets, so should never let a winemaker own their own winery.
We were either going back to Switzerland to go to hotel school, or we were going to come to California. We had to get closer to the vineyard thing.
It's like when you go to one of those winemaker dinners where the winemaker doesn't quite get that not everyone is telling jokes about the acid level in the wine all night.
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle and welcome to podcast number 76. This month, we feature Scott Lloyd, National Sales Manager for Frank Family Vineyards in Napa Valley.
It's a fact that of the over 400 wineries that are members of the Napa Valley Vintners Association, the majority are owned by families. Frank Family Vineyards are one of those wineries, and family plays a huge role not only in the ownership, but also in the day-to-day operations. We met with Frank Family National Sales Manager Scott Lloyd at a winemaker dinner held at Potawatomi Casino's Dream Dance Steak Restaurant here in Milwaukee back in August of this year. Special thanks to Potawatomi's Ryan Amundson for setting up this interview. Well, we are here at Potawatomi Bingo Casino with Scott Lloyd, and Scott's the National Sales Manager for Frank Family Vineyards, correct?
Yes.
So welcome to Milwaukee. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great. Glad you could be here. So tell me about what you're doing tonight.
We're doing a lovely dinner here at Dream Dance Steak. We're doing pairing four of our wines, our Chardonnay, our Pinot Noir, our Zinfandel, and Cabernet with Chef's Cuisine.
And you had mentioned that one of the menu items was kangaroo tonight.
Kangaroo, indeed. That is a new one for me.
That's a new one for me, too. And as I already pointed out, I didn't know Milwaukee had a lot of kangaroos hopping around here.
Yeah, you know, I don't think they're indigenous to this part, but maybe there was an Aussie who came over and brought something with them.
I guess so. A couple that got left behind somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, let's first of all talk about you and a little bit of your history. How did you come to be at Frank Family Vineyards?
I was born and raised in the Napa Valley and grew up there, went to school in Southern California, and then was in Silicon Valley for many years, and then decided that I wanted to get back to my roots. And Valley is very small. Everybody kind of knows everybody. And decided that Rich Frank and Kerner Rombauer were partners at that time and owned Frank Family Vineyards, and they wanted to expand distribution throughout the United States. So was very fortunate in that met with them and came on board about a decade ago. And it's been a lot of fun building the brand over the last decade.
Now, is Rombauer involved in any way with Frank Family these days or no?
We are very close, very supportive. As far as equity, there is no equity between the two anymore, but Kerner and Rich are very close friends, see each other quite a bit.
Huh. So you were born in Napa, which is, that's kind of Valhalla as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I consider myself a napkin.
You know, I've never, ever heard anybody say that.
Yes, it's, you know, it's kind of funny. Napa, anywhere you grow up, I think, you know, it's norm to you. It's all you know. And growing up in Napa, it was all I ever knew.
So did you ever have that time where you wanted to get out, small town, that kind of a thing? And I'm assuming you mean Napa proper, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So went to school in Southern California and then, you know, Silicon Valley for about a decade as well.
Yeah, a lot of ex Patriot Napans in Southern California, but then they always get drawn back, don't you?
It's tough. You know, you, as much as you travel, and I've traveled around the United States representing the winery, Napa is quite beautiful. Food, people, landscape, cuisine. It's for what I enjoy, it's quite nice.
And did your family have any involvement in the wine business before your time came?
My family was involved in the wine business in many respects. My mother was manager of the Napa Fairgrounds, so she kind of knew everybody from, you know, carnival workers all the way to, you know, winery owners, kind of everybody. She was in 4-H and heavily involved for many, many years in Napa. And my brother is now a winemaker. Makes wine for a few people, and we like to say that the rest of the family are very good at the back half, which is the consumption. So we're a full circle family. So people make it, sell it, and consume it.
There's just a curious question for me now. Are we talking the Napa Fairgrounds or the Napa County Fairgrounds?
Napa, in the Napa, town of Napa.
Okay, yeah, got it. Because there's one, the County Fairgrounds is Calistoga, right?
There is. There's the one up in Calistoga, up valley.
But was there a point where all of a sudden you discovered wine as you grew up? Maybe you got after the legal age of 21 or anything?
Well, it began before that. Hopefully, oh, this is on record, oops. So it began pretty early. And I remember my brother shipping down, you know, great wine to me when I was in college. And it was pretty fortunate, you know, to be in college and drinking some pretty fantastic wines with pizza. And my roommates were quite excited about that too. I enjoyed wine, always drank at the dinner table growing up, you know, never to excess. So, you know, everybody had to cut their teeth on Boone's, I think. But it was one of those where, you know, as I continued to drink wine, really was in college, just developed a passion for it, enjoyed it. And obviously whenever you're from Napa and you're sitting at a table at dinner, everybody will hand you the wine list, so it's almost by default that you need to do that. Love wine, absolutely passionate about it, and very fortunate to be in this industry.
Was there times you would just tool up and down the valley when you came back on break and catch, you know, go to a couple wineries at all, or was it just something you didn't do because you lived there? I mean,
yeah, you know, I didn't. It was one of those where it was a cellar, you know, the fortunate ability to have a few things in the cellar from mom and dad and brother. So when I was younger, I had that option. And it is interesting now, you know, we have a lot of friends who come into town and they want a wine taste. And it's one of those things where I'll go maybe once or twice to a few places. But, you know, there are some pretty amazing properties in Napa that make some fantastic wines.
So, Scott, Frank family, very well known, as far as I'm concerned anyway. It's a label I've been familiar with even before I got into my heavy days. And I know they're not a huge place, but about what kind of an output is Frank doing these days?
Well, we have a lot of wines. We do actually 19 wines total. Production, I think right now, you know, we'll see how Mother Nature is this year, but we'll hopefully be, you know, 35 to 40,000 cases.
Not a monster, but respectable.
Yes, and we're very fortunate in that, you know, Rich and Connie have, you know, three properties that they own, totaling almost 250 acres. So to be able to have your own winery, your own vineyards, you know, bottle everything on site, store everything on site, it's incredible control and luxury to have. Mm.
About how long have they been doing the sparkling wine?
The winery was built in 1884, so it's actually the third oldest winery in the Napa Valley. And then it was originally Larkmead, and then was Hans Cornell sparkling wine until Rich and Kerner acquired it in 1992. We've continued that tradition of sparkling wine, and our winemaker, Todd Graff, who is a phenomenal winemaker and great guy, was assistant winemaker at Schramsberg for about 7 years. So he's had his hands in, as we were talking about earlier, at Schramsberg, bring it full circle. So we've been making it from the beginning, you know, from acquisition to current. And we do four of those, a Blanc de Blanc, a Blanc de Noir, a Rouge, and a Brut.
So the Rouge is somewhat of a, are we saying, sort of a rosé-ish sparkling?
Correct. Pinot Noir is the primary varietal.
But with a little bit of color.
Yes.
Yeah, interesting. And I wasn't aware of that. I didn't know you'd been making it since the beginning. Seems to me, over the last few years, that sparkling wine has almost, not that it ever went away, but is making more of a popular comeback, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and I'm happy about that because I love it. You know, in Napa, there was S. Anderson, which was a really nice, you know, small sparkling wine producer, which is now Cliff Letty, but they don't make sparkling anymore. Frank Family is really one of the only independent small, you know, we do five to 700 cases of each, you know, so it's very small production. But I think overall, you know, sparkling wine, champagne is definitely, and especially in my circles, it's very popular.
Are you guys doing a still rosé?
We are not. We are not doing a still rosé.
Any plans for that at all?
I would hope so, but I think it's one of those where we've got 18, now 19 wines, you know, that Todd is doing, so he's got his hands quite full.
Sure. I'm just seeing that more and more winemakers are going after, again, the French model of rosé, making a nice dry rosé, and in the efforts of getting people to realize, no, this is not White Zinfandel. This is a dry and very tasty, and for a day like today, we're here, it's about 90 degrees outside. That's a great wine to have.
I agree 100%. I think rosé is beautiful. You can, you know, pairing wise, it's fantastic. You can do so much with it.
Back to the history. I've been to the property a couple times myself. You have a beautiful tasting room, which is a very old house. I don't know how old it is exactly.
1800s as well.
I was hoping for you to jump in on that one. Thank you. One of the things I mentioned to you when we sat down, before we sat down, was Steve McPherson making his wine at Frank Family because we had interviewed him back in June. And I think what's interesting is there's a huge entertainment industry connection here from the Frank Family itself.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Rich Frank's background, he was president of Disney Studios, which is the movie and television arm of Disney in the 80s, early 90s. He's currently executive producer on a few television shows, Royal Pains on USA Networks and Wilfred on FX. And, you know, Steve McPherson and Rich are close friends. And Steve's wife, Jen, is lovely. Very close relationship. And, you know, the story behind Promise is quite a nice one. As you know, it was a promise that he made to follow his passions and dreams. And Rich is, you know, fortunate to own this incredible property. It's the next mountain over from Auberge de Soleil, 100-plus acres, very steep hillside. And they do a very small production of wine out of there, which is primarily Cabernet Sauvignon based, called Promise. And it's tough to find. It goes quite quickly, and it's incredibly, we're fortunate that it gets great press, and I think you might have hopefully had some of it. It's quite impressive Cabernet.
It is one of those times at Premier where I actually remembered quite well tasting that wine. Of course, it was a great experience meeting Steve because he's such a great guy, and what an interesting background, no less. Let's get back to Frank Family here and talk about, you just talked about the property. 100 acres is what you currently own now?
There are three properties total. So there's 100 plus acres in Carneros on Buckley Station Road, which is near Buena Vista, which actually is the oldest Napa winery.
That is the oldest, correct, yeah.
And then we've got another 100 plus acres in Rutherford, and then up near Nyers, Nicolini, Coletto, and the Capel area, there's about another 70 acres.
So you got some of the best places around.
It's not too shabby.
Do you guys do any leasing as well beyond that, or?
We, as far as giving anybody our fruit, or?
No, leasing for yourselves, leasing to other grapes.
If we're in need of additional grapes and it's available to us, you know, especially for many vintners in 2011, being a very short year, that's one thing that we will look at if the quality is up to Frank Family standards.
Yeah, from what I understand, obviously, I mean, we saw what happened in 2011, especially the crazy rains at the end of the year. A lot of loss in the Pinot category is what I've heard. Is that, did you guys experience that as well?
I think, you know, varietal across the board, you could really say most people were down almost a third with the shatter and then just the temperature not getting up. It was a very late harvest. We're right now, compared to last year, almost a full month ahead of where we were last year at this time with harvest.
You've reached the end of part one of our interview with Scott Lloyd of Frank Family Vineyards. You can download part two from lifebetweenthevines.com or iTunes.